listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
All of you, how are you doing, New Chapel? All doing good. So many smiling faces. I'll tell you what, freedom looks good on you today. And I'm excited that I get to share a message with you. But before we jump into all of that, aren't y'all so happy that we have a pastor who's leading this church boldly through adversity? Whereas, give God praise for that. Where through every shutdown, Pastor Joe is hearing from God about how we're going to continue to reach people. I remember being in a staff meeting, and he's trying to explain to us what drive-in church is. And I was like, wait, slow. We're putting a stage on the roof? Explain this. How is this going to work? And he's unwilling to compromise on the word of God. He's been obedient to God, and I'm just thankful that we have a man of integrity, character, and who's displaying what it means to walk in grace and truth. Clap your hands if you're excited to have, thankful to have a pastor like Pastor Joe. And I'm thankful that you allow a 24-year-old young pastor to come up here and preach on a Sunday morning, and so it means a lot to me. And so if you are excited for today, go ahead and take out your notepad, a physical copy of a Bible if you have it, maybe your New Chapel planner, and we're going to get ready to jump into it today. And we believe in taking notes here at New Chapel. We believe that God speaks today, and he has something, I believe, to speak to each and every one of you as we jump into it today. And if you're watching online, we're so thrilled to have you joining us for church this morning. If you're watching this message, go ahead and click like and share. I think it's awesome that you can impact and influence people's lives just by doing something that simple. Maybe tag a friend who you know needs some encouragement. And so regardless, if you're watching online, we're happy and thrilled that you're joining us for church this morning. Anyways, my name is Brian Capiello. I'm the assistant pastor here. And if you have your physical copy of your Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Thematically, that's where we're going to be camping out here today. This is what Scripture says. In John 15, Scripture says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And I say amen to that. And we just rolled into a new year. Show of hands, who's excited to be in 2021? Oh, there should be more hands than that, everybody. Yeah, I hear a hand clap. Praise God for that. We are in a new year, and as we were going into the new year, I really started, like many of you, I'm sure, in the room, reflecting on everything that 2020 was. You know, thinking about all of the hardships, all of the joys, and the lessons that 2020 brought. And as I was reflecting on what last year was, you know, I had so many conversations that I've had with people over the last few weeks kind of pop into my mind, and really it was a lot of the negative things, you know, just people, my gosh, what a horrible year, good riddance to 2020, you know, we're moving forward. But listen, I understand, I have some of those same feelings myself, but let's not write off 2020. Amen. Let's not write off everything that 2020 was, the lessons it taught us. And instead, when I was reflecting and I'm writing this message, I'm thinking about the joys, the silver linings in 2020 and all the things that 2020 taught us. And I didn't say this first service, it's not in my notes, but I remember when we opened up in May. And, you know, the thing that everybody was saying was, man, I'll never take church for granted again. Is everybody still feeling that? Yeah. I know I am. And so, amen to that. But as I'm reflecting, I'm really thinking about the house renovations project that my wife and I went through. And we bought this house in Cedar Springs on 17 Mile. And, you know, it's not good. Actually, let me say that. When we bought it, it was not good. You know, it was like the animal feces in the carpets, moldy, drop ceiling, that bad. Like, when you walked into it, Shelly, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Shelly, awesome realtor, I think tried to convince us a little bit not to buy it, because it was bad. But that's exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a house to fix, to flip, to have profit on, which would be the seed into what our next home is going to be. And so I was really looking for something like that. Maybe not a house that makes your eyes water when you walk into it. That's not what I was believing God for. But at the same time, you know, I was looking for that opportunity that God was going to bring our way. And so we had looked at houses leading up to that, which had potential. Some that were just already really nice, and I wouldn't have to do anything to. But that's not what I was looking for. And, you know, we just didn't have the peace about any of those other houses, even though some of them did have opportunity. And so, but when we walked into that home, and my wife said, "This is the one. I have peace about this one." I knew it was God. You know, Nye is standing, she's standing on carpet that has cat pee-pee on it. And, you know, and she's saying, "I got peace about this house." I was like, "That's God." And so we end up closing in September of 2019. And, you know, it's been, you know, we worked on it. Well, we made it livable and moved in on September of 2020. And, you know, I just remember, I think back to the day where we hadn't even closed on the house yet, but it was final inspection day. And maybe if you've bought a house in the room, you go there, you're so excited, just praying all the inspections come back good. And I had most of my family out. Pastor Joe and Kaya were there. Their whole slew of kids that they have were there. And we're walking through. And if you ever want to have ideas or like just as much vision as you can possibly get, take Pastor Joe with you anywhere. I remember we're walking from room to room, and he's like, "And this is what you could do with this. And if you take out this wall here and you build a wall here, you'll have another bedroom." And I'm like, "Wait a sec, what's happening?" Praise God, I love it, but I'm just trying to soak this in. And you know, I remember we're walking through, and we're just really just excited about it. And my mom, you know, she was excited for the fact that she knew we saw the potential, but on her face, it told a different story. Like, she was, "Ooh, this is not good." But then I remember the day we closed, Nye and I were just giddy. Like we're so excited about where God is leading us, and we're giddy. We sign the papers, we go, we start working that night. We're pulling out carpet, and I hear Naya in the other room. She's giggling, you know, because we're so excited about ripping out this carpet. We're like just like recklessly ripping out carpet. We're so excited. You know, the first whole week, really, I mean, it was just like this. You couldn't take the smile off of our face. Like, every time we went there, the animal smell, I'll leave it at that, the animal smell is like, it didn't even faze me. I was so excited. And then, you know, a month or two went by, and all of those feelings were gone. They're all gone. And I remember the day we took down the drop ceiling, and realize why they put a drop ceiling, you know? The plaster ceiling, you know, if some of you are in construction here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In certain areas that we didn't check, where the plaster was falling off of the ceiling. And so you know what that means is you gotta take the plaster off, you gotta take the lath board off, the insulation comes with it, you gotta re-insulate the whole house. And that day, I remember, it was a Thursday, Naya is staying at the church because they got women's group, and it's 5:30. I'm heading up to Cedar to work on the house, and you know, we bought it in September. That was maybe November, so 5:30, it's pitch dark outside, you know what I'm saying? It's dark and cold, and I'm in there. I got a crowbar. I'm ripping down lath board. Lath board are like flying past my head. One literally hit a window, shattered the window, and I was like, you know, can't even think about it right now because I'm just going strong with the laugh board. And long story short, 3 petrified mice fall on my head. Blown insulation. Oh, I wish I had the picture to show you guys, but Naya and I, because I tell you what, Naya was a trooper. Like, she was awesome. She's not in here right now, but she was so willing. I remember, gosh, I have so many stories from this, but we were re-insulating the house. So we got the rolls of insulation, and Naya's on a ladder behind me holding up the insulation. And I remember she wasn't doing it right. But I'm trying to be sweet. I tell you what, our marriage communication skills improved so much because I'm trying to, honey, can you just please, if you would be willing to hold it up a little higher so I can staple them in? If you would be willing, that would be great. And so we re-insulated the whole house. Naya's just, I mean, she's cutting drywall. We tried putting on our own drywall on the ceilings, and I actually... if any of you are in drywall, you're gonna facepalm because of my mistake. I didn't put all of them on studs. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know. And I remember. And when I say that, I mean the end didn't end right on a stud. That's what I mean. And so. I remember we did the whole house. I bought a lift for it and everything, did it. And then I had a finisher come in. He said, I gotta take this all down. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so that day I'm just angrily unscrewing screws from it. And anyways, 8 months in, here we are. We're sitting in the living, well, where the living room hypothetically is going to be. And we're sitting there next to a stack of packaged laminate flooring. Which is at some point going to be the floor in our house. And I remember these thoughts that I was having, and it was really this thought. Number one, we're never going to make it. We're not going to move in. It will not happen. And then the thought, and Naya thinks I'm joking, the thought crossed my mind that could I get the insurance money if I burned it down? Like, those are real thoughts, everybody. And, but listen, all jokes aside, this is where God led us. This is the blessing that God provided us. This is where he had called us to put our hands to. And those are the thoughts that I'm having. I'm thinking, I hate everything about this. This is horrible. I don't want to be here any longer. We're never going to move in. And that last thought that I just shared with you. But here's a question for us in the room. How many of us right now are complaining about what we prayed and asked God for? How many of us do the same thing where we pray for the promotion, right? And when we get it, we start complaining about it. Or we pray for the house and we complain about fixing it up. Or we pray for those relationships to be restored. And when God does a miracle, it's like, I'm complaining about that, you know? How many where God answers prayers and then the way that we perceive it to be really changes our whole experience, and we end up really, really cursing the thing that God is blessing us with. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I want you to write this down. Your perception will determine how you experience your situation. It's so key. And there's one thing that I know. If you are obedient to God and you trust him and you continue to follow him, he will bring you through every trial, every tribulation you could possibly go through. Amen, somebody? Amen. Amen. I was reflecting on 2020 and just some of the horrible things that were in it, some of the great things. And I really wanted to focus in on that moment where, you know, my thought life had been tainted. It had gone from God-centered to being somewhat negative and destructive. And thoughts matter more than you could ever imagine. And here's what I want you to write down. It's our big idea for the day is to have your best year in 2020. Time out. Who wants to have their best year in 2021? Yeah. The best. There should be more hands in the air. I'm just saying, everybody should be like, praise God, I want my best year in 2021. If you want your best year in 2021, you need to have the best thought life you've ever had. Because here's a spiritual truth. Your life is going to move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And here's what I mean. If your thoughts are full of faith, like, man, God is with me, God is for me, He's filling me with His faith, He's anointed and positioned me to be successful where I'm called to be, and I'm going to follow Him. If you have that mindset, you're probably going to be successful, going to be very positive, going to be becoming more like Christ every day. But on the flip side of that, if your thoughts are more negative and they're more focused around, man, I don't have what it takes. You know, I don't have what it takes. This is negative and that's negative, and I can't believe they said that or they did that. I can tell you, you're not going to live in victory. Yeah. And I want to just tell you today, Jesus has a victorious life for you. Jesus has an abundant life for you. Jesus has a call on your life for you to step into. And when you do, He'll fill you with His peace, with His joy. And you will be what the scriptures call more than a conqueror. Amen, somebody? Amen. And you will struggle if you're negative in your thoughts to walk in the call of God. And this is what Romans chapter 8 says in verses 5 and 6. And this scripture really helped change the way that I thought about thinking. Romans 8 says, "For those who live according to the flesh," what do? "They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit," those who live according to God's word, those who filter their thoughts through the word of God, "they think of things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded," get this, "is life and peace." How many want to be full of life and peace? Yes. I'm going to do show of hands stuff, so if you just, you're going to get a shoulder workout in while I'm preaching today. Everybody in here wants to be full of life and peace, right? Amen? And here's what I want you to write down, is that our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your inner dialogue is so important. It's crucial. Your inner dialogue, what you're speaking to yourself in your mind. And I actually learned last year that some people don't have an inner dialogue. Do y'all know that? Some people, like, I don't know what's computing up there, but anyways, I don't understand it, but that's all right. Maybe they think in shapes or whatever, but I talk to myself all the time, not in a weird way, but I my inner dialogue is, it is mostly God-pleasing, sometimes very destructive. Can anybody relate? Like, it can be God-pleasing and sometimes very destructive, but that inner dialogue is so important. And here's the question I have for us in the room today. Is your inner dialogue dominated by a sinful, negative, destructive thinking? Or is it controlled, like in Romans 8, by the Spirit, according to God's truth and God's word? And I want to give you two scenarios. And these scenarios will make the world of difference. It's scenario number one. This is the God-centered life, the God-centered inner dialogue. You wake up in the morning and you're so excited. Man, God is with me. God is for me. He's put a call on my life. He's given me everything I need to fulfill that call. I'm going to go make a difference. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm victorious. And I have divine energy. And if you do wake up and think all of those things, God bless you. Like, that is awesome. But on the flip side of that, scenario number two is that negative thinking. And this would look a bit like you wake up in the morning and you think, I'm tired. I don't want to go to work. I don't like my job. I don't like the people I work with. They're kind of annoying. Why are my kids awake so early? Why did we even have so many kids in the first place? It's that kind of thinking. And those may be exaggerations on both sides, right? But which scenario closely resembles your inner dialogue? I want to give a statement and then a question. The statement that I've said before is our life is being directed by our strongest thoughts. And the question is, are you excited about where those thoughts are leading you? And if you're not, that's okay. If you're in this room today and you're thinking, you know, my inner dialogue isn't good, you know, I haven't had the most positive thoughts, I want you to know that Scripture has a prescription for you. And the thing about God is he redeems all, everybody. And God will take something that was destructive and he'll flip the script and he'll redeem it and use it for good. And I know what some of you may be thinking, but you don't know what I did. You don't know what I've been through. Trust me, I got you. It's okay. God, when Scripture says that God works all things together for good, he means all things. And so he'll redeem that even if you're in this room today and you don't have that God-centered thought life. And what I want you to see is that thoughts are like seeds. Write that down. Thoughts are like seeds. You need to nurture the good ones and tear out the bad ones. And they're like seeds because they always start small. And I'm sure you can relate or you know what I'm talking about. For example, say person A did something and you saw and you thought a certain thing, or better yet, better example probably would be person A comes to you and says, man, I can't believe what person B did. They said this and they did that and I can't believe it. And you think, it's not that big of a deal. You might think, you know, man, OMG, you know, I can't believe they did that. And may just brush it off. But what I want you to see is that it's not no big deal. Because what person A just did was create a lens or a filter that every thought you have about person B now is through that filter. And it starts small, but if it's left unchecked, what it will do is become this massive destructive weed in your mind. And we need to tear those out. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. And this is what the enemy does. The enemy of your soul, he's what Scripture calls the father of lies. He's the accuser. And the first thing he ever did was accuse God. The first words of the enemy in Scripture are, did God really say? Did he really say? Because what the enemy wants to do is undermine anything in your life that's godly. Undermine and try to accuse you on anything in your life where you're being obedient to God. And the enemy will lie. He'll plant a thought in your mind. But what I want you to see is he undermines the word of God, yes, but he also undermines what God says about you. Because God has a plan and a calling for your life. And he has a set of gifts that he put in you. Unique gifts. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he's given you those gifts so you can use them to bring glory to his kingdom. Amen, somebody? And the enemy's going to try to lie to you. You know, you're not really qualified. Did God really say you were called to that? Did he really say that you were supposed to be there or doing that? And so what do? Well, the answer is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 4 and 5. And this is what Scripture says. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Somebody just say amen right there.
Amen.
For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And this scripture, this passage is talking in a more broad way about how Christians do spiritual warfare, but it also applies to this topic and to, you know, really redirecting your thoughts as well. And so it's talking about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. Anybody know what the primary weapon of our warfare is? Thank you. Yes. Anybody got a physical copy right here? Just go ahead and wave that in Jesus' name. I saw like four people. Y'all are extra blessed today. Praise God. It's the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active. We use the Word of God to realign our thoughts with God's truth. But how do we do it? By speaking it. We activate the Word by speaking it today, and that will realign your thoughts. Proverbs 18:21 says that the power of death and life are in the tongue. And one thing I relate to that, and if you have a spouse in the room, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, is, you know, Nye and I, we have the occasional discussion. We don't call them arguments. There's the discussions. And, you know, I've never once been mean or rude to her, maybe snapped a little bit, and later thought, you know what, I'm just kind of happy that I flew off the handle. You know what I'm saying? I've never looked back and been happy about any of those things that I said, because power of life and death are in the tongue. And you can speak one word to somebody of negativity, and it just pierces their heart. But in the same vein, you can speak one word of encouragement, and it can just build them up. You know what I'm talking about? And that's why at New Chapel, we're resolved to be encouragers. Amen? We're resolved to build people up, not tear them down. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so what do? We speak the word. If you want to have the best year this year, you need to have the best thought life. And to have the best thought life, you need to speak the word of God to realign all of your thoughts with God's truth. And I know that in the church world, we say things that they sound really great, and sometimes the practicality of it gets lost on people. Like, man, stand on the word, you know, be persuaded in his promises. I just want to give you a couple of examples of what I mean when I say speak the word over your situation to realign your thoughts. Okay, number one, if you're starting to feel sick in your body, I think 2020 offered, you know, the opportunity to speak this. If you're feeling sick, here's what you should be saying. God, I thank you that you said in 1 Peter that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And you said in Jeremiah 30:17 that you would restore me of my health and heal me of my wounds. So right now, Father, I pray and I thank you that I'm healed and I'm whole in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? If your finances are struggling and you're in a pinch there, here's an example of what you should be speaking. Father, I thank you that I'm a tither and a giver, and I thank you that your word says that you'll meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you that I have a material covenant blessing with you according to what your word says in Deuteronomy 28. Amen? If you are living in fear, and I'll tell you what, in 2020, fear knocked at everybody's door, didn't it? If you're living in fear, here's what you should be speaking. God, I thank you that you've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Father, I thank you that you said no weapon formed against me shall prosper and that no plague shall come near my dwelling in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? Yeah. Amen. And so those are the examples. That's how you speak the word. And then what do? You walk in it. You receive that from God. A lot of the times, the problem is we have a hard time receiving those promises. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it, you know, too good to be true, the saying. But like, God has real promises and he wants you to receive them. Amen, somebody? Amen. Romans 12:2. I like the way that the New Living Translation bears this out. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, because this world's gone crazy. But let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think. Wow. Then, it's an if-then kind of scripture. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I'll just say amen right there. If you want to have the best 2021, you're going to have to let God transform you by changing the way that you think, by renewing your mind to God's word. And let me just take a time out. This isn't in my notes, but I think it's worth saying, is to speak the word, you need to know the word. Like, that makes sense when I say it, but, like, I'll use myself as the example, because when I was in high school and college, I'd never liked to study. And I'd go out to a test, and it's like, I remember I was in calculus, and I remember being at the test, and I didn't study, like, 1 minute. And I just showed up, I'm thinking, God, if you help me to answer these questions right, I'll live for you the rest. You know, it's just like, I never put the stuff in there. So there's nothing coming out. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way with the word. So we need to spend time in His word. Time putting that in. So when it's time to speak it, it's not just in here, it's in here. You know what I'm talking about? And in this situation, in my opinion, less is more. Less is more. And here's what I mean by that. What I'd like all of you in the room to do this week is to go home, pray, seek God about one word for your 2020. One word. It's something that I've tried to do for a few years now. And I was doing this same thing on January 1st. I was praying, I was seeking God, and I was like, God, what's my word going to be?
Talking about.
And I think as Christians, deception. Why? Because Jesus is coming back and he needs his church to rise up. Amen, somebody? Praise God. Now here's the question. Listen, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not. But I think somebody in this room needs to hear that you need to take your eyes off of Facebook and put them on Jesus. Amen? I think collectively we need to spend more time in prayer, more time fasting, more time in the Word. And one thing that I believe is true is that we need to not be judgmental of other Christians when they begin to speak the Word. We need to lift them up, encourage them, begin to walk side by side and say, hey, this is a great promise to speak. You know what I'm saying? Be lifting each other up. I believe that today, God is asking his church the same thing he asked Isaiah in Isaiah 6. Because God is preparing his local church for a year of increased fruitfulness. It is the year of the local church. It's been prophesied and we have received that. And we're going to do everything in our power to make that come to pass. I think even seeing this auditorium, even when there's still a lot of churches closed, is evidence that we are in a growing season. We're in a season of fruitfulness. But I believe God is asking his church the same thing he asked Isaiah. with somebody. Amen. If you'd bow your heads with me as we pray, God, I pray that you'd move hearts, that you'd open hearts and you'd open our eyes, that we'd only see you. God, I pray that you're speaking next steps to all of your people in this room right now, God, and that you give them the strength, the wisdom, and the boldness to take that step, whatever it is, and you give them the insight on what they need to do and the conviction and strength to do it. God, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to speak to those people in the room.
Great job. If you accepted Christ in here, I want to let you know that we are proud of you. You're sitting around people that said that prayer at some point in their walk with God. And we'd love it if you could let us know. Now, we're not going to call you down to the front or embarrass you in any way, but we do want to connect with you. We want to send you a note talking about next steps. So make sure that you either fill out that connection card and check the box that says, I accepted Christ, or go online to newchapel.com to the Connect With Us tab and let us know about your decision. We're proud of you. God has next steps and we want you to know about them. Church, aren't we excited about these people that accepted Christ? Isn't that awesome? Hey, stand up on your feet, gang. Wasn't that an awesome word from Pastor Brian? Come on, somebody. Man, I tell you what, that word abide just became my one word. So don't feel bad if you stole that. That's okay. Because I done stole that thing too. I'm going to put that in my planner. And hey, I want to let you know that we're having New Chapel Connect after service today. If you want to learn more about the church and how you can partner with what God is doing here, how we can partner with you and your family, I'm going to be there today for New Chapel Connect. It's going to be a great opportunity to connect also and learn about the vision. Don't forget, on February the 7th, we're having that Super Bowl party. And then also on the 8th is the first week of groups. Everybody say groups. You need to go to newchapel.com/groups and find out more about small groups here at New Chapel. You need to get into relationship. You've already gone through the threshold of people don't want y'all to gather together. You might just well go one more and meet somebody and talk about your faith, about what God is doing. Why don't we make this the best year of our life spiritually? Amen, somebody. Let me pray for you real quick. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have a great week.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.